It's easy to see why they've relied so heavily on the tactic of agent provocateurs. Not for the purposes of surveillance, but for the purposes of undermining us from within, of destroying our belief in each other, our good fellowship. Continuing with Miklos Nisley's Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account, chapter 33. It was 2 p.m. I had just finished lunch and was seated by the window of my room, staring at the sky and clouds that bore the promise of an early snow, when a strident yell from the oven room passageway broke the silence. "Allez entretien! Allez entretien!" This was an order we were accustomed to hearing twice a day, in the morning and evening, for muster. Coming at this hour, however, it augured no good. "Entretien! Entretien! Allez entretien!" The order rang out again, this time more peremptory and impatient than before. Heavy footsteps resounded just in front of our door. An SS opened it a crack and shouted again, "Entretien! Entretien!" With sinking hearts, we headed for the crematorium courtyard, where a group of well-armed SS already encircled a group of commando men as we walked up to join them. There was neither surprise nor the faintest sign of protest from anyone. The SS, their machine guns leveled, waited patiently till the last stragglers had joined the group. I glanced around for the last time. The motionless pines that formed a little tunnel at the end of the courtyard were blanketed with snow. All was quiet and very peaceful. In a few minutes, an order, "To the left! To the left!" We left the courtyard. But instead of going along the road, our guards had us walk towards number 2 crematorium, directly opposite. We crossed the courtyard of number 2, knowing that this would be the last walk we would ever take. They led us into the crematorium furnace room, but none of the SS guards remained inside with us. Instead, they spread out in a circle around the building, stationed at intervals near the doors and windows, their guns poised, ready to fire. The doors were shut, and the windows covered with heavy iron bars, completely thwarting any possibility of escape. Our comrades from number 2 were also present, and a few minutes later they unlocked and sent in the commando from number 4. 460 men in all, waiting to die. The only thing we did not know for sure was the method that would be used to exterminate us. We were specialists in this matter, having seen all methods in operation. Would it be in the gas chamber? I hardly thought so, not with a Sonderkommando. Machine guns. Not at all convenient in a room like this. Most likely they intended killing two birds with one stone. That is, blow up the building and us along with it. A plan worthy of the SS. Or perhaps they would toss a phosphorus bomb through one of the windows. That would be an equally effective method. One that had already been tried before, on the deportees from the Milo ghetto. What they had done then was load the deportees into boxcars, so dilapidated as to be of no further use than toss a bomb inside. The men of the Sonderkommando were sitting on the concrete floor of the furnace room, wherever they could find room, waiting anxiously but silently for the next move.